Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, September 22nd, 2020. Coming up this hour,
Republicans move ahead with plans to confirm President Trump's pick to the Supreme Court.
The FDA plans tougher vaccine rules as U.S. coronavirus deaths surpass 200,000.
And the House passes a stopgap funding measure to keep the government open.
New York City sees an uptick in cases of COVID-19. I'm John Tucker. That story straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower on Sports. Easy win for the Yankees. The Mets won as well. The Giants have signed a new running back.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are adding to yesterday's gains. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points this morning. Dow futures up 231. NASDAQ futures up 68. The DAX in Germany is up 1.75%. The CAC in Paris up 2%. And the FTSE 100 up 2.5%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd yield, 0.67%. The yield in the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 26 cents at $40.06 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $15.60 at $18.92 an ounce. And the euro is at 1.1714 against the dollar. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest on the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's open seat on the Supreme Court. Republican Senator Mitt Romney says he will not stand in the way of a vote to fill that seat this year.
In a circumstance where a nominee of a president is from a different party than the Senate, then more often than not, the Senate does not confirm. So the Garland decision was consistent with that. On the other hand, when there's a nominee of a party that is in the same party as the Senate, then typically they do confirm.
And now President Trump says he will move quickly to choose his nominee.
I'm getting very close to having a final decision made, very, very close. I'm going to make it, I believe, at 5 o'clock on Saturday. I'll be having a conference.
Romney's decision now sets up a confirmation either before or just after the November 3rd election.
Several new developments this morning on the coronavirus. Deaths in the U.S. have now surpassed 200,000. President Trump, during a virtual speech at the U.N. General Assembly, slammed China for the outbreak.
We must hold accountable the nation which unleashed this plague onto the world, China. In the earliest days of the virus, China locked down travel domestically while allowing flights to leave China and infect the world.
And his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping used his address at the UN to criticize leaders who try to politicize the virus.
Facing the virus, we should enhance solidarity and get this through together. We should follow the guidance of science, give full play to the leading role of the World Health Organization, and launch a joint international response to beat this pandemic. Any attempt of politicizing the issue or stigmatization must be rejected.
Meantime, in the UK, Prime Minister Boris Johnson announced new restrictions that are likely to last 6 months and urged residents to work from home.
And to those who say we don't need this stuff and we should leave people to take their own risks, I say these risks are not our own. The tragic reality of having COVID is that your mild cough can be someone else's death knell.
There have now been more than 31 million coronavirus cases around the world.
Now there's more evidence a coronavirus vaccine will not be cleared before Election Day. The Washington Post reports the Food and Drug Administration will soon unveil tougher standards for emergency authorization of a vaccine. The move comes as public health experts worry the president's prediction for a shot by November could prompt Americans to reject a vaccine as rushed and potentially tainted.
On Capitol Hill, we hear from Jay Powell again today. The Fed chairman gives a second day of testimony to the House after calling for more fiscal support for the economy.
I do defer to the administration and Congress, who actually have responsibility for this, but I think that it is likely that more fiscal support will be needed.
Prospects for another round of stimulus have diminished as partisan tension over the Supreme Court takes center stage. And tune in for more from the Fed today when we speak to Vice Chairman Richard Clarida. He sits down for a conversation with Bloomberg Radio and Television at 8 a.m. Wall Street time.
In the meantime, the House has passed a stopgap funding measure to keep the government open. Here with more is Amy Morris from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
They struck a deal with the White House to provide aid for farmers and food assistance for low-income families. So the bill now heads to the Senate for a vote before the end of the fiscal year, September 30th. If they do make that deadline, lawmakers still have to complete work on 12 appropriations bills that haven't even been drafted yet. Final passage would avoid a government shutdown just before the November election, but it only covers the budget through December 11th. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. And corporate news, shares of Tesla falling after a flurry of news from the company's first ever battery day. Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow has the story from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Tesla says it will make a $25,000 fully autonomous EV in the next 3 years. That's going to be made possible by the EV maker's plan to halve the cost of its batteries. The company also announced a series of changes like manufacturing its own battery cells to innovations around the use of silicon and dry electrodes, improvements that will make Elon Musk's long-standing dream of more affordable EVs a reality. The company also stated ambitious plans to dramatically ramp up the amount of battery capacity it produces by 2030. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Ludlow. Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And Tesla shares initially jumped in after-hours trading, but faded as the event went on. Right now, they're down 5% in early trading.
On the flip side, shares of Nike are surging more than 13% after the world's largest sportswear maker posted better revenue than predicted. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It is a sign Nike is swiftly bouncing back from the pandemic slump. Revenue came in at $10.6 billion in its fiscal first quarter, compared with the $9.11 billion estimate of analysts. The company posted 95 cents a share in earnings, topping the 46 cent projection. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. And Walmart will recruit more than 20,000 workers ahead of the holidays to prepare for an expected surge in online shopping. The world's biggest retailer is girding for a holiday battle with Amazon by hiring more seasonal staff to handle online orders. Straight ahead, the latest World and National News.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:07 on Wall Street, and John Tucker is here with more on what's going on around the world. John?
And good morning, Nathan. New York City is seeing an uptick in cases of COVID-19 in four areas, in Queens and Brooklyn. Those areas saw a large increase in infections over the past week, 8 weeks, according to the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. The areas make up 20% of all cases citywide. Could spread to other neighborhoods unless action is taken, according to the department. Brooklyn is honoring one of its own, the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Today, I'm proud to announce that we will rename the Brooklyn Municipal Building after Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Mayor Bill de Blasio says the building located on Girolamo Street will be renamed to Inspire Locals. New Jersey lawmakers have advanced a $32 billion budget that hikes income taxes on millionaires and businesses. The Democratic-led Assembly and Senate budget committees advanced the spending plan, with Republicans voting no. Under the plan, people will be taxed at 10.75% on every dollar they make over $1 million. That's up from about 9%. California's Obamacare exchange has hit a record number of enrollments during the pandemic. Ed Baxter has the story from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Almost 290,000 Californians have signed up since March 20th for what is called Covered California, and that brings enrollment to about 1.53 million, the highest since its inception in 2014. Covered California Executive Director Peter Lee says the milestone is not a reason to celebrate because it shows the high number of people who lost health insurance when they lost their jobs. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New York's top law enforcement officer says President Trump's son, Eric, gave a judge a false explanation for why he backed out of a July deposition in a civil probe of the family business. The state's been seeking sworn testimony from Eric Trump for months as part of a probe of asset valuations at the Trump Organization. And the plane carrying Vice President Mike Pence made an emergency landing shortly after striking a bird last night. Air Force Two returned to the New Hampshire airport from where it had just taken off. Pilots declared the emergency shortly after 7 p.m. Nobody aboard was hurt. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, after giving up 10 and 11 runs the last two games, the Yankees scored 12, beat the Blue Jays 12-1 in Buffalo. 15 Yankee hits, no home runs, but plenty of good nights at the plate, like Gio Urshela had 4 hits. Gleyber Torres had 3, so did Aaron Judge. Aaron Hicks drove in 3. And Gerrit Cole, again, very sharp, looks ready for the postseason over his last 3 starts. The Yankee ace in 21 innings has allowed just 2 runs, has had 24 strikeouts. Here's Aaron Boone.
I just feel like he's got a real good understanding of his attack plan. And, developing the game plan as the week unfolds, and then going out there and executing it. And I continue to go back just using all his pitches effectively, not being afraid to shy away from any pitch in any situation. And, he's filling up the strike zone.
Tampa Bay could have clinched the AL East. Mets prevented that, winning 5-2 at Citi Field. Seth Lugo got the win. Met home runs from Pete Alonso, Robinson Cano, and Guillermo Heredia, his first as a Met. Dodgers clinched, finishing with the majors' best record. NBA playoffs, Denver beat the Lakers 114-106. LA still leads the series 2-1. The Giants have a new running back to try and replace the injured Saquon Barkley. Devontae Freeman had some big years with Atlanta, but was unemployed. He gets a 1-year contract for $3 million. The Broncos, whose QB Drew Lock is hurt, have signed Blake Bortles. The NFL has fined 5 head coaches for not wearing masks often enough during games. The latest to get fined, Sean Payton, who had COVID several months ago, and John Gruden, who revealed that he had it too. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures are moving on up 17 points or 0.5%. Dow futures are ahead by 207 points or 0.75%. NASDAQ futures up 56 points. That is a gain of 0.5%. 10-year treasury down 1/32nd. The yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5%, up 20 cents, $40 even a barrel. The euro is at 1.1710 against the dollar. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're just up to 6:12, just about, on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. You can see them at NRIA.net.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Portfolio Analyst, powered by Interactive Brokers. Savvy investors use Portfolio Analyst to create a consolidated view of their finances and check the health of their complete financial portfolios. Sign up for free at PortfolioAnalyst.com. U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning, while gains in airlines, media, and auto shares are pushing the stocks Europe 600 index toward its best increase in 2 weeks. Treasuries are little changed before Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell and other policymakers speak later in Washington. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 16 points, Dow futures up 196, NASDAQ futures up 49. The DAX in Germany is up 1.6%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.67%. They yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33% or 13 cents at $39.92 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.8% or $14.80 at $18.92.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1713 against the dollar, and the yen 104.95. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Karen, thanks. The death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg means Brett Kavanaugh may soon be liberals' best hope to save abortion rights and Obamacare. Kavanaugh would find himself at the court's center if President Trump succeeds in replacing Ginsburg with a staunch conservative. According to a pair of Washington Post ABC News polls just out, President Trump and Joe Biden are locked in tight races in Florida and Arizona. And the plane carrying Vice President Mike Pence made an emergency landing shortly after striking a bird last night. Nobody was hurt. And in Bloomberg Sports, NBA playoffs, the Nuggets beat the Lakers. Baseball, the Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Red Sox all win. The Nationals sweep a doubleheader against the Phillies. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It is 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Now we want to get to the latest on the coronavirus, a pathogen that has now killed more than 200,000 people in this country alone. And as the global death toll edges close to a million, the arrival of flu season could only make matters worse. Joining us now is Professor Andy Pekosz, who teaches microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. It is good to have you with us, Dr. Pekosz. Of course, we've been tracking the coronavirus pandemic with you for months now. So I'd really like to just first off get your reflections on this milestone in the U.S. 200,000. What does it say about our response?
You know, it's sobering. It is, I guess I'll use the word tragic, because it's really clear that this didn't have to happen. There are things that we know that we can put in place to limit these number of deaths, to limit the severe disease, to limit the spread of the virus. And I think we know that we can do this now without having to completely sacrifice our economy, our day in, day out in lives. Life isn't going to be the same as it was before December 2019, but there is a path forward, and I think that we really need to try so much harder to make sure that we can move forward with this appreciation that we need to pay attention to the disease as well as move the economy and other things forward in reasonable, measured ways.
Does the path become more difficult now that we are heading into flu season and, you know, many Americans are starting to get that vaccine now?
Yeah, so, you know, we know that SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, is spread most efficiently in indoor spaces, close contact between people. That's exactly where we're moving now, of course, as we enter the fall and winter. People have been doing outdoor activities. They're now going to be moving more inside, spending more, even more time inside. And so that increases the likelihood of being put into situations where SARS-CoV-2 can be transmitted. Of course, those same situations can mediate influenza transmission. And influenza should be gearing up in the U.S. in the next couple of weeks. So we really do worry that the shift to the fall, winter, and the behavioral changes primarily are going to make things more easier for the both viruses to transmit.
We know now that the United Kingdom is imposing new restrictions to deal with the outbreak there. They're closing pubs early. They're encouraging people to work from home again. Is that something that we're going to need to brace for in the U.S., and do you see that happening?
Yeah, you know, the virus is not going away. So the strict public health measures that we put in place in, you know, March and so, we're able to tamp down the infections. We're now in a case where we're just trying to find a balance. We want to relieve some of those interventions so that people can go to work, so that people can, you know, keep their lives going. But we also want to make sure to be vigilant and make sure that we're keeping an eye on the number of cases and trying to adjust our public health interventions in a way that keeps those case numbers down. It's a completely different shift now. We want to do testing. We want to do contact tracing and use those as our tools to keep the number of cases down, as opposed to putting in global restrictions on people's movements and their ability to interact with other people.
In our last minute here, Professor, what did you make of the guidance that was removed from the CDC website last week talking about airborne spread of the virus potentially going farther than 6 feet? Is that something that Americans need to worry about?
I think that practically speaking, the current measures that are put in place, wearing masks, keeping that 6 foot distance, make sure not coming into large group contacts, those will still work efficiently. The subtleties of aerosol versus droplet transmission won't really affect how we go about our day in, day out business. We need to be better at wearing masks and social distancing, and we'll be able to reduce the number of cases that are going on in this country.
And the advice that we've been hearing and many of us have been trying to adhere to for months now. Andy Pekosh, professor of microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. As always, thank you so much for your insights on the pandemic now as the U.S. has crossed 200,000 deaths since the virus first emerged 8 months ago. As always, you can get the very latest on the pandemic at Bloomberg.com/coronavirus or VRUSGO on the Bloomberg terminal. S&P futures higher by 15 points this morning. Dow futures up 192. NASDAQ futures up 35 points. The 10-year Treasury yield 67 basis points. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit them anytime at mynycb.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe are rising this morning after yesterday's 1% gain for the S&P 500. Politics is front and center as President Trump's bid to replace Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg gets a major boost from the one Republican who voted to impeach him. Senator Mitt Romney said he supports a confirmation vote this year.
I think at this stage it's appropriate to look at the Constitution and to look at the precedent which has existed since the beginning of our country's history. And in a circumstance where a nominee of a president is from a different party than the Senate, then more often than not, the Senate does not confirm.
Romney's decision likely sets up a vote on the president's nominee close to Election Day. The president says he'll announce his choice around 5 p.m. Saturday.
The U.S. House has passed a stopgap funding bill to keep the government open through December 11th. Both parties in Congress and White House officials struck a deal that provides aid to farmers and food assistance to low-income families.
As U.S. coronavirus deaths surpass 200,000, the Washington Post reports that any COVID-19 vaccine will have to meet rigorous standards to gain authorization for emergency use. The move casts doubt that a shot will be approved before the election.
On Capitol Hill, we hear from Jay Powell again today. The Fed chairman gives a second day of testimony to the House after calling for more fiscal support for the economy and warning the recovery remains uncertain.
Banks from Goldman Sachs to HSBC have hit pause on plans to return workers to London offices. That's after Prime Minister Boris Johnson asked residents to work from home as coronavirus cases climb.
Tesla shares are down more than 5% this morning. Bloomberg's Ed Ludlow reports the company's battery day failed to impress investors.
Elon Musk said that Tesla wants to build 20 million vehicles a year. Well, this year, Tesla's on track to build 500,000. The idea that they're going to reach, you know, production capacity 40-fold what they're currently doing, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. And I think if you speak to value investors and long-term investors, they know that. And it would have taken something quite ginormous that was real next week to move the shares higher.
And on the flip side, shares of Nike are up more than 13%. Earnings from the world's largest sportswear maker came in far better than predicted. Right now, S&P futures, they're higher, up about 16 points. Dow futures are up 203. NASDAQ futures up 40. The 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 17 cents at $39.97 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thanks. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com. Good morning, John Tucker.
And good morning, Nathan. New Jersey lawmakers have advanced a millionaire's tax. We get the story of this report this morning from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The Democrat-led Assembly and Senate budget committees advanced a nearly $33 billion spending plan with Republicans voting no. Lawmakers included an income tax increase on those making more than $1 million a year, as well as on businesses making over $1 million. The tax on millionaires was part of a deal Democratic Governor Phil Murphy reached with Democratic legislative leaders last week. Under the plan, people will be taxed at 10.75% on every dollar they make over $1 million, up from 8.97%. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Radio.
New York City is monitoring a jump in coronavirus cases. The Department of Health and Mental Hygiene says there was a large increase in infections in four areas in Queens and Brooklyn. They warn the virus could spread to other neighborhoods unless action is taken. A cluster in Midwood, Borough Park, and Bensonhurst reported a 4.7% rate of positive tests last week alone, well above the citywide average of 1%. Brett Kavanaugh emerging as the unlikely liberal hope for the Supreme Court. And Bloomberg's Amy Morris reports.
The death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg could mean Justice Brett Kavanaugh might be the best hope for those on the left to save abortion rights and Obamacare. Kavanaugh prefers closer rulings than some of his more conservative colleagues. If President Trump succeeds in replacing Ginsburg with a staunch conservative, Kavanaugh could find himself at the court's ideological center. Legal experts say he could decide how far and how quickly it turns to the right on some of the country's most divisive issues. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump and Joe Biden locked in tight races in Florida and Arizona, according to a pair of Washington Post ABC News polls. In Florida, registered voters split 47% for Trump, 48% for Biden. Among Arizona's registered voters, Mr. Trump is at 47%, Biden at 49%. All these differences are within the polls' margins of sampling errors. Dow Jones reports that Mars is changing the name of Uncle Ben's rice to Ben's Original and dropping the image of a bow-tied black man from its packaging, the latest company to change branding rooted in racist imagery. Mars is one of a handful of food companies that said in June they would review or change branding on products, including cream of wheat, Mrs. Butterworth's, and Eskimo pie. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's 6:36 on Wall Street and time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, thanks, Nathan. The Yankees have played 55 games, only five to go, two more in Buffalo with the Blue Jays, and then three in the Bronx versus Miami. And then next Tuesday, the playoffs begin. Best of three of the opening round. Not known who the Yanks will play and whether they'll be at home or on the road. But one thing is certain, Gerrit Cole will be on the mound in game one. He had a rough stretch during the Yankee slump, but in Cole's last three outings, he's gone seven innings each time. He's allowed a total of only two runs, 24 strikeouts. Very sharp last night in the Yankees. 12-1 rout of the Blue Jays. The Yanks had 15 hits. No home runs, but big nights at the plate for Gio Urshela, Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres, Aaron Hicks, and Kyle Higashioka. The Mets hit three home runs. They beat the Rays 5-2 behind Seth Lugo. The Dodgers clinched having the best record in the majors. There was a time that Devontae Freeman was considered one of the NFL's top rushers, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in 2015 and 16 with Atlanta. And then he got hurt. His production tailed off. He was out of work. The Giants, with the Saquon Barkley injury, have signed Freeman. Billy Donovan's the new coach of the Chicago Bulls. He spent the past 5 years with Oklahoma City, got them into the playoffs all 5 years. In the playoffs last night, Denver had a big lead, held on, beat the Lakers 114-106. Lakers had won their previous six playoff games, 10 of their last 11. They still lead the West Finals 2-1, but Denver trying to mount a series comeback. They've already had two in these playoffs. Miami leads Boston 2-1 in the East, game four tonight. Also game three of the Stanley Cup Final, Dallas and Tampa Bay tied at one. Notre Dame has a COVID outbreak on its football team and postponed Saturday's game with Wake Forest. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Netflix may find streaming treasure in Quibi's wreckage. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. After just 6 months, it seems that Quibi has been defeated in the streaming wars. The mobile streaming video startup is reportedly exploring a sale as it tries to save its struggling business. But rather than find a buyer, it's far easier to come up with a list of companies that can emulate aspects of Quibi and outdo it. Netflix, Disney, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, they all come to mind as companies that have a chance to marry short-form Hollywood storytelling with on-the-go social viewing in the way that Quibi could have pioneered. And they don't need to buy Quibi to do that. There's a tremendous opportunity to vertically integrate streaming and social media. Because while investors may draw those lines, to consumers, it's all just content. maybe a buyer emerges for the wounded brand, or perhaps more likely, Quibi waves quibi and something better comes along. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Just in time for breakfast this morning, General Mills reports fiscal first quarter results. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
With many people still eating more meals at home, General Mills could see continued sales growth. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a 5.2% increase in organic sales growth, driven largely by demand in North America. Pet food may also remain strong, with revenue growth as high as 8.4%. That would help offset an expected 10.7% revenue decline in its convenience stores and food service segment. Analysts are forecasting a profit of about 87 cents a share in the quarter on revenue of about $4.2 billion. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. On the economic front today, we get PMI readings for September at 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time. Here with more on that is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
In August, the market factory index rose to 53.1, the highest since January 2019. Regional factory data from the Federal Reserve System point to continued gradual recovery this month as Americans adjust to life in a pandemic. Data Tuesday showed the Richmond Fed's factory index for September rose to a two-year high. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Finally, selling short on TV. Carson Block, a famous short seller, is launching an internet video channel to share ideas on his short calls and the research behind them. The founder of Muddy Waters Research wants to explain his strategy in detail so investors can protect themselves and make informed decisions. S&P futures are up 14 points, Dow futures up 193, NASDAQ futures up 32 points. This is Bloomberg. And it's just before 6:41 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Johnson & Johnson has begun dosing up to 60,000 volunteers in a study of its COVID-19 vaccine. That just crossing the Bloomberg, it marks the first big U.S. trial of an inoculation that may work after just one shot. J&J is the fourth vaccine maker to move its candidate into late-stage human studies in the U.S., and J&J shares are up about 1.7% in early trading. U.S. stock index futures, they're moving higher this morning. S&P futures up 15 points, Dow futures up 205, NASDAQ futures up 34, the DAX in Germany is up 1.6%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd yield, 0.67%, the yield on the two-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 12 cents at $39.92 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $9.90 at $18.97.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1709 against the dollar. British pound 1.2727. And the yen is at 105.02. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Just crossing the Bloomberg this morning, Johnson & Johnson has begun dosing up to 60,000 volunteers in a study of its COVID-19 vaccine, marking the first big U.S. trial of an inoculation that may work just after one shot. The Washington Post reports the Food and Drug Administration is expected to spell out a tough new standard for an emergency authorization of a coronavirus vaccine as soon as this week that will make it exceedingly difficult for any vaccine to be cleared before Election Day. And Mars is changing the name of its Uncle Ben's Rice to Ben's Original and dropping the image of a bow-tied black man from its packaging. And Bloomberg Sports NBA playoffs. The Nuggets beat the Lakers. Baseball, the Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Red Sox win. The Nationals sweep a doubleheader against the Phillies. Global news 24 hours a day on air and a Bloomberg Quick Take powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. So much happening in the nation's capital, including President Trump's path to confirming a Supreme Court nominee this year, getting smoother with Mitt Romney's support. The House has passed a stopgap to keep the government open into December. And a new Washington Post ABC News poll shows a very tight race between President Trump and Joe Biden in the battleground states of Florida and Arizona. Also making news, Justice Brett Kavanaugh potentially emerging as an unlikely liberal hope for a new swing vote on the high court. Back with us now for more on all these stories, Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. First, though, let's start with what has put Kavanaugh potentially in that swing vote position. The president is looking a lot more likely, Kate, to get his Supreme Court choice this year than he was just a couple days ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the big reason for that is Mitt Romney, the Utah senator and 2012 Republican presidential nominee, who came out yesterday and essentially said that he's not going to block having that vote before the election. He didn't say it quite that explicitly, but if you read between the lines, that's basically what he was saying, that he will judge a nominee on her qualifications when that nominee gets to the floor, and, you know, regardless of what the time frame of that is.
Yeah, of course, emphasizing her because the president has promised that his nominee will be a woman to succeed the late Justice Ginsburg. Talk us through Romney's rationale for making this decision.
Well, essentially, he's drawing a distinction between this time when it was the end of Obama's term 4 years ago and there was a vacancy and the Senate was controlled by Republicans. So you had a president of one party and a Senate of the other party. And now when you have the White House and the Senate controlled by the same party, and he's saying essentially that because the White House and Congress are controlled by the same party, that he doesn't see a problem with voting to approve the president's, confirm the president's nominee for that reason. I don't really know myself that there's a whole lot of historical precedent for that, but that seems to be his reasoning at least.
All right. Now, assuming that the president does get his nominee confirmed, there has been some discussion now, particularly among legal experts, that this could put Justice Brett Kavanaugh in the position of being the new swing voter, something that Chief Justice John Roberts has been over the last couple of years. Why is that?
Well, really, it's a question of the center of gravity in the court. If you have another conservative justice appointed by President Trump, and we expect, based on who he's looking at now, Amy Coney Barrett and some others, that it's going to be a more conservative justice. And that does shift the center of gravity, particularly with the fact that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who had been sort of one of the lead dissenters on the court, isn't going to be on the court anymore. And so I think we've seen this sort of happen over the years as different members of the court shift around. You see that sort of center move, and it looks like Kavanaugh could potentially be somewhat unlikely, but, you know, that sort of swing vote. And that could be particularly important when it comes to issues like abortion that could go before the court. And Kavanaugh, in particular, his propensity to sort of narrowly craft agreements that we've seen, or opinions that we've seen so far from him, that could be something that, you know, becomes very, very decisive in the coming, you know, years, really, I guess.
Yeah, I guess this would be kind of surprising for, I would think, the casual Supreme Court watcher, given Justice Kavanaugh's rancorous confirmation fight just a couple of years ago. Does this sort of give the sense that Kavanaugh has sort of put that behind him now that he's actually on the bench?
Well, I think there have been some early indications that that could be the case, that he has sort of put that behind him. I think this is not an unusual thing that we see with Supreme Court justices. You know, they have their record, their judicial record before they get to the court, but then often, you know, we see that record modify when they do get to the, once they're confirmed. And also we need to remember that, you know, Justice Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings were really about one thing, the, you know, sexual assault allegations against him. I think in a lot of people's minds, as you say, casual observers of the Supreme Court, that is the sole issue on which he is defined for them. And so I think, you know, his record that he's starting to express as a justice is something that's, you know, potentially different from that.
With so much attention on the Supreme Court vacancy right now, it should be noted that Congress is getting some things done, and that could be boosting sentiment for markets this morning. The government probably isn't going to shut down at the end of the year, so there's that.
Yeah, and that's certainly a positive thing, I think, for both parties. From the perspective of both parties, we did see the House pass a stopgap spending bill that is going to then go to the Senate. And, you know, we would expect it to, because of the deal that's been struck, that's likely to get approved there. And if it does, then that would forestall a government shutdown next week, which I think, given everything else going on in Washington right now, no one really wants.
Just quickly, does that boost the prospects for another round of stimulus now that at least that's off the table?
I mean, it certainly doesn't hurt, but I think that, you know, the road to getting more stimulus done, I think, is more harmed by this acrimony over the Supreme Court vacancy than it is helped by some sort of an agreement on a stopgap funding measure.
And finally, just out this morning from the Washington Post and ABC News, a new poll that shows an extremely tight race in a couple of key battleground states for President Trump and Joe Biden in Florida and Arizona.
Yeah, really, really tight races in both Florida and Arizona. And Florida, as a matter of fact, you know, if you look at likely voters versus registered voters, in one, Trump is ahead slightly, and the other, Biden's ahead slightly. So, you know, that's how narrow this one particular poll shows the margin to be. And I think that the key takeaway for me is that, you know, in both these states, Arizona and Florida, this poll shows the race to be tighter than other polls that have been conducted this month. And so we have to wait and see what subsequent polls indicate. But if that trend continues, that could show that the races there are tightening, and that could be very positive for the president.
And, of course, both those states are key for both the candidates when it comes to racking up that Electoral College advantage on November 3rd. Bloomberg U.S. Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you, as always, for giving us the debrief on what's happening in Washington. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and listen to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2 in Washington. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. A warning from federal authorities. They say foreign actors and cyber criminals are likely to try to spread false information about the U.S. presidential election. That includes questioning any results not released on November 3rd by creating fake websites, altering existing sites, or creating and sharing social media content. The announcement notes that because of the increase in mail-in ballots due to the pandemic, officials may be left with incomplete results on election night. Walmart will recruit more than 20,000 workers ahead of the holidays to prepare for an expected surge in online shopping amid the pandemic. The world's biggest retailer is readying itself for a holiday e-commerce battle with Amazon by bringing on more seasonal staff to handle online orders at its U.S. distribution centers. The beginning hourly rate is $15.75, and it goes up to $23.75. And Amazon has told Echelon Fitness to stop selling an exercise bike that was promoted and branded as a product developed in partnership with the e-commerce giant. Echelon announced the X Prime Smart Connect bike earlier this week and said it was developed in collaboration with Amazon. The machine was listed on Amazon's website for $500, much less the machines offered by Peloton. An Amazon spokeswoman said, quote, "This bike is not an Amazon product or related to Amazon Prime." And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. S&P futures are up 18 points this morning. Dow futures up 231, and NASDAQ futures up 52. And Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.